So I'm excited because we're going to dive into this Q&A session, and I'm not going to do it by myself, but Ariel and I, we're going to do this together. So can y'all make some noise for Ariel as she comes on up as we dive on in? Amen. And we're gonna dive right in and just have some good old real talk today as it relates to our Q&As. And how you doing, darling?
Great.
I just saw you a few minutes ago down there.
Great.
Like I ain't seen you in a long time. But the questions that have come in are really impactful, and I think they're really powerful, and I think they will help to speak to just some of the things that we may be wrestling with. And you may not even ask the question, but I think that many of these questions that we'll ask, that we'll be answering today, like I think they're gonna really help you and be impactful to you. And so we're just gonna dive right in because I don't want to waste any more time and just kind of doing a whole lot of preliminary stuff, but. We're going to dive in, and we're going to dive into some straightforward questions, like just straightforward. And this one, we actually don't have to put on the screen because it was really, really long, like really long. But we wanted to answer because we really believe like this question in and of itself is a foundation question. And if you remember in week one of our series, I preached a message called Foundation Issues, and we talked about how everything that we do in life comes back to our foundation. So this question is loaded, so just kind of hang in there. It says this, that years after a divorce due to repeated infidelity, I find myself facing several problems. After devoting myself to building a life for my family and preparing for having children, without that, all personal accomplishments seem somehow hollow and worthless, no longer having a family to work towards building. That was my purpose. And I realized that is who God created me to be. Or that was my purpose, and that purpose has been taken away from me. After prayer and soul searching, I have come to realize that this is who God created me to be. And it is truly not good for me to be alone. Realizing this, I know that I need to find somebody to share life with and success and failure and faith with. I don't even know where to start anymore. I'm not in school anymore, and I'm working as an independent subcontractor, so I don't have coworkers. I want to date for the purpose of marriage and family, so where do I even start looking? Now, you can imagine why we didn't put that on the screen. That would have taken like three slides. But it's a very loaded question that I believe really, it almost kind of captures the breadth of everything that we're going to be talking about today. And the thing that I want to speak to just as we kind of open up this time, and it's a really great question. It's a deep question. It sounds like it's a very, very personal question. But I want to just kind of say this, that your life's purpose is not to be married. Your life's purpose, and this is for all of us, your life's purpose is not to have kids. And I know that sounds very counterintuitive to what culture says, because culture says your purpose is to get married, have kids, get a job, die. Right? That's not your purpose. Scripture never tells us that. Your purpose is to follow Jesus. That's your purpose in life. But Pastor, that sounds so simple. Yeah, it is. And what happens is oftentimes what we do is we believe the lies of culture and we begin to confuse what our calling and our purpose is. But at the core, our purpose is to follow Jesus. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. In other words, Jesus is saying, your main focus should be to seek after me. Like your relationship with me is the purpose of your life. All the other things, I talked about it last week, even marriage, as great of a gift as it is, it's temporary. Your kids, like they're with you for a season, they move out years later. You know, like your job can be here today and be gone today. You know, like everything in his life is temporary. So my purpose can't be attached to something that's temporary. It needs to be attached to something that's eternal. And that's Jesus. And so the focal point of my life, the foundation of my life is to be on Jesus. Gary Thomas wrote this book called Sacred Marriage. And it's one of the most powerful books that we've ever read on marriage. I remember when we first got married, we read that book within the first year of our marriage, and it just really helped to lay a good foundation. But the premise of his book was, what if God did not call you to be married to make you happy, but to make you holy, to make you more like Jesus? And actually, that's why God gives the gifts that he gives, is to make us more like Jesus. Not so that way we can just kind of achieve all of the goals, but it's to is to make us more like Jesus. What would you add to that, darling?
Oh, it sounds so loud. Get used to this. No, I'm just, the only thing that I would add is that I think in the question they said that they needed to be married to share life, success, failure, and faith with. And those are things that we do in community. And so, yes, you're married and you're sharing your life with that person, but you don't have to be married in order to share your life with somebody, if that makes sense. So when we're in community with other people, when we have friendships around us, and when we are really dialing in to be connected to the environments that are around us, those give us the opportunity to share our faith, to share our successes, to share our failures. Jesus wasn't married. And so I don't think any of us would say that Jesus's life wasn't complete because he wasn't married. And so a lot of times we look to that standard of marriage to be the thing that completes you, and you will get married and realize that you're still broken and looking to your spouse to fulfill something that they can't fulfill. Yeah. And you're placing too much pressure on a person that wasn't meant to hold that weight. And so the spouse doesn't complete you or fulfill you. The kids don't complete you or fulfill you. There are people around you who want to do life with you, and so dial into those connections. And then also, I know it talked about just infidelity, and just I'm sure there was like brokenness and hurt that has come along with that. And so really dialing into that and dealing with that pain, like going to counseling, seeking out help in that way, because it can be like, oh, well, the marriage is over, so I don't need to deal with that anymore. But really taking the time to make sure that you're spiritually and emotionally well, whether that be in your singleness or preparing for the next relationship.
Amen. That's good. Yeah. So our next question.
Let me read it.
Yeah.
Okay. In a marriage, okay, so some of these questions, we had a lot of questions, so we merged some of them together. In a marriage, especially new unions, should there be a curfew, reasonable time my spouse and I should be home by when we go out separately for a girls' night or boys' night? Mm. So should we be able to stay out all night, or should there be a curfew? That's
some of y'all are like, I'm a grown man.
You are not my mama.
You are not my daddy or my mama.
Do what I want to do.
Right.
So one of the scriptures that came to mind for this question was, and not every question has a scripture, but this one does, 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 12, and it might be on the screen. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. And so not to say that hanging out with your friends is a childish thing at all, but also realizing that in every new season, there are going to be some things that we continue to do and some things that maybe we need to kind of put away, right? So we would need to look at maybe what we're doing when we're hanging out with our friends, but also realizing that, especially in new unions, you're developing a relationship with this person. And so there may be some communication that you all need to have on what that person feels comfortable with now that maybe they didn't feel comfortable. They felt comfortable with it before, but now that we're married, they may have a different level of expectation. And that's okay, because we're growing, it's a new relationship, all of those things. And so really being able to communicate with your spouse is, do you have a problem with me hanging out with XYZ friends? Yes, I do. Okay, so let's talk about why. Is it where we're going? Is it what time I'm coming home? Especially when children come into play. You know, you're hanging out till 3, 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. and the kids are waking up at 6 a.m. and they don't care what time you went to bed last night. That could be a little stressful for your spouse who's been home with those children and then now has to wake up early with those kids. And so the hanging out with your friends for a boys' night or a girls' night is not in any way bad. excuse me, but making sure we're on the same page as to what our expectations are as a couple.
Yeah, that's good. And I think it comes back to communication. And so being able to talk among each other about that talk, not yell, you know, not like, I'm coming home at 2.
Because I'm grown. That's what I'm
gonna do. That's not going to work well. But like really having legitimate conversation about this, because it is a serious issue. And so like, you know, just because you're married doesn't necessarily mean you just lose all your friends or whatever the case may be, but it just simply means that things may be reorganized to a degree. And so like when we got married, like prior to getting married, I would always go see like late night movies. You know, at like 10 o'clock, 10:30 with some of my friends, even midnight showings. And they don't do too many of those anymore. And so we'd get out of Avengers at like 3 in the morning. You know, it's like, hey, this is awesome. But, you know, when you get married, you know, things change a little bit, you know. And so it's being able to kind of have that communication and that talk with one another to be able to come to some type of agreement, but it has to be done in harmony. It can't really be done solo, because if it's done in solo, it's going to create a lot of tension. So
I would also add that it is important for you to have friends.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people get married and it's like, oh, my spouse is my best friend, which is awesome. But you also need friends outside of this wonderful person who you're
yes.
married to.
Amen.
And so don't think that you have to get married and then forsake your friendships. Dial into those friendships, but just
sure.
realize how you hang with those friends might look a little different than how you did when you were single.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen. So the next question talks about friends of the opposite gender. These questions get really good. Mm. So friends of the opposite gender, is it okay to hang out with them without my spouse around?
Mm.
That's a good question. So it's good to have friends, right? We should all have friends. Friends of the opposite gender can be a little interesting. And so 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything builds up. And so evaluating why we are friends with that person, not to say that, hey, you're Johnny and your best friend is Sally and you and Sally can't be friends anymore, but you, Sally, and your wife need to be friends. Like, we need to, this needs to be a triune friendship.
Triune.
It needs to be a triune friendship, because I don't want Sally hanging out with my husband. But realizing, like, why... Not to say that you guys can't still be friends, but now you're married. And
right.
so if we are friends to the level that I am telling stuff to this person that maybe I'm not telling to my spouse,
right.
or I'm telling them things about my spouse, are we causing an opportunity for the enemy to cause division in
yeah.
between us? And does your spouse feel comfortable with that person? Can we all hang out together and be friends together? Can their spouse be involved in it, or their boyfriend, or whatever the situation is? And just realizing the dynamics of that. And it's important to just flee the appearance of something being wrong. So not providing an opportunity for the enemy to have a foothold. And really, both of those questions just go back to communication. Where do we stand together as a couple? Where do we feel comfortable? If he feels uncomfortable with something, but I feel completely comfortable with it, then it's not okay because he's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the same goes on the other side.
Yeah.
And so if one person isn't comfortable with it, then nobody should be comfortable with it, because
right.
we're one and we're trying to figure out together how we make this right.
Yeah, yeah. I want to kind of key in on the part right there where it says, is it okay to hang out with them without my spouse around? Now, let's just be real, guys. You can do anything you want. You grown.
Yeah.
Is it wise? Probably not.
Yeah.
It's probably not wise for me to be with somebody of the opposite gender, especially somebody that I have some type of a connection to alone, where it's just us. It's probably not a wise thing to do. So I would encourage you to make sure you're in a very public setting. So it shouldn't be just like, hey, you want to just, you know, go to a movie? No. Come on. That's how affairs happen, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Oh, but Pastor, they're just my best friend and we've just known each other. Well, you should have married them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
If y'all that close, where it's now, where, like, I'm telling her stuff that I'm not telling her, I made the wrong choice.
Yes.
Maybe I did. I maybe missed God on that. Baby God was never in it from the jump. We got to be real, because what happens is, I think a lot of times the enemy will deceive us into thinking that things are okay when in all actuality they're not. Like, these are the pathways that lead to infidelity, that lead to affairs. And so, like, you got to have that communication with your spouse. So, you know, being able to, I'll just be honest, like, even as a pastor, I really don't take any one-on-one meetings with anybody of the opposite sex alone. So if I'm meeting, like, with somebody in our church who's a young lady or a woman, whatever, for a meeting, we're meeting at Panera.
Public. We need a record.
Everybody, y'all see this. Seriously. Like, seriously, because of the fact that, like, I love my God, I love my wife, I love my family. And so I'm going to put boundaries and guardrails in place. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so you have to do the same even when it comes to relationships. And I know, like, in today's time and in today's culture, that's not always popular to hear, because it's like, oh, you know, you're grown. You should be able to control yourself. Well, if that's the case, things wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, now you're downplaying the tactics of the enemy, and he loves to be able to prey on pride, where you think you're good when in all actuality you're not. And so, like, just being wise about those type of things, you know, even if you're friends or whatever the case may be, and you're just kind of hanging out at each other's house, like, you got to be wise about that. Like, that's how the enemy kind of comes in. And so we want to make sure that we're not giving him alley-oops. Yeah. A lob pass called sin. We don't want to do that. Like, we don't want to do that. Like, so we want to make sure that we're really wise about it.
I would say, too, that's really important for work relationships, too. Because you can have really close relationships with people at work who are the opposite gender.
Yeah.
I know when I worked in the corporate setting, you would be like, oh, they're like work husband and work wife. But they got husbands and wives
yeah.
at home.
Yeah.
And so just even being mindful about boundaries in yeah. those areas, too.
Like, who, what? Work husband, work? No.
I got one husband.
I need
husband.
To come cut somebody. Oh, I said that in Jesus' name. Who said that?
Oh, my goodness. I am married, but the majority of my friends are single. That's the next question. I've been told that married people should befriend other married couples. What's your take?
That's a good question. I'll say this. Married couples should connect with other married couples. Definitely do that. I think it's necessary. That community is necessary. But I will also say it doesn't mean that if you're married and you have single friends to cut them off.
Yeah.
Like, we all need one another.
Yeah.
Like, that's the beauty of the body of Christ. But definitely those relationships, they may change. And so you may, as a married couple, find yourself spending more time with those who are married. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I believe, like, God uses that to strengthen marriages, you know, one to another. And so just being intentional with pouring into those relationships, but don't cut off those who are single. Don't be like, oh, I didn't level up, you left behind. Like, no, it's like you just got married. We were good prior to this, you know, like, don't try to flex now, you know? But like, understanding, like, every relationship that you have, like, it that God has given you, it has value. It just may look different in every season. And so don't diminish the value because you may be in a different season.
Yeah.
So,
two of my closest friends are single. And it has been, we've been friends for a long time, almost 20 years probably. And so it's important to maintain those relationships, because it's not their fault that they're not married and I am. We can still be friends, but they also honor my marriage. And so they're really intentional about not trying to cause division or not being like, oh, we're having a girls' trip, making me feel bad that I can't go on the girls' trip because I got other obligations. And so it's just really important to not, when you are in a different season of life, not forgetting the people who are in a different season, if that makes sense.
Amen. That's good. And that's why here in our church, we have connect groups. So if you are a married couple and you're looking for some good godly couples, find a connect group today.
Mm-hmm.
Shameless plug. Go online, thebridgechurchva.com/groups. And you'll be able to find some groups right there. But we all need community. All of us need community. Like, don't believe the lie of the enemy that tells you that you don't need community, because you do. Here's the next question. This is a good one. Where are the men?
Look around. Where
That's
are
literally
they?
A question, right? Right there.
Yeah.
Pastor Edwin preached a great message about how to date with godly intention, but where do you find this person? I don't drink, so going out to bars isn't my scene. Online dating still yields passivity, where people just, quote unquote, like you, but don't try and start a conversation. And we kind of combine this question with another question, which says, I would like to wait to have sex until I am married. I have friends who have done so, and I see the blessing on the other side. Are there realistically any men who feel the same way? So this kind of question is somewhat related in many regards. Where are the men?
Baywatch.
Where's
Bay?
They exist.
They're there.
They're there. Maybe I don't see the men because I'm not in the environment that I should be in. Or maybe I'm looking in the wrong environment for the person that I'm looking to be with. So I always say, if you don't like the water, get out of the pool. Like, get out. Maybe that means that I have to begin to broaden stuff. So I can't just, you know, expect to go find a godly man at the Norva, you know. It's like, hey, the Lord led me to you. I don't know about that, you know? Like the alley, comfort zone. I don't know, you know. But But the question is, like, am I where I'm supposed to be, right? And so oftentimes, you know, and this is a real question, and I can feel the frustration, because especially, like, for those of, for ladies in here, for all the sisters in here, you know, you're trying to honor God. Brothers, the same way. You know, some of the guys in here, you're probably thinking, where are the ladies? It ain't just a guy thing. It's a gal thing as well. You know, they perpetrate, but then, you know, I see them online, and they got all the scriptures, Jeremiah 29:11, and they even got a picture with a cross in it. But when I met them,
they're ratchet.
Ratchet. Oh, right? They fooled me. I've been hoodwinked, bamboozled. And so I don't think it's just a one gender thing. I think it's just a thing all the way across the board. And so I think the question really has to come back to, okay, am I where I'm supposed to be as it relates to the will of God? Because God knows where the men and where the women are. He knows how to find them. He knows how to send them to you, which comes back to the first question. Am I actively pursuing the purpose of God? Am I actively pursuing Jesus? Because here's what happens. When I'm pursuing Jesus, he has a strange way of connecting the dots. He has a strange way of conveniently us bumping into one another in a way that we weren't even looking for one another. So I said last week how when you look at the creation story and how you look at the first marriage between Adam and Eve, the one thing you never saw Adam ask God for was a wife. Yeah. He never asked for that. It was God who said it is not good for him to be alone. So therefore, he created and sent Eve to him. I want to encourage us. Make sure that you're fulfilling the purpose of God. Adam was busy serving the purpose of God. He was busy doing the will of God. And then God sent Eve along the way. God does not change how he connects people. He is the ultimate matchmaker. And so the thing that I need to be doing as a single person right now in this season is making sure that I'm aligning myself with the purposes of God. Because what happens now is when I'm aligning myself with the purposes of God, he will align me with the person that he wants me to be with. Now, the one thing you don't want to do is be aligned with somebody that he never intended for you to be with in the first place. Because that's a train wreck waiting to happen. I think all of us, myself included, like we've experienced that in some capacity. So we want to make sure that we're just aligning ourselves with the purposes of God. Am I serving? Am I plugged into the local church? Am I in community? You know, I personally believe that the body of Christ is like the best place to find a spouse. I believe that when you're plugged into community, and it may not be like just the Bridge Church. It may be you know, they may go to another church or whatever the case may be, but both of you guys are actively pursuing the presence of God. You're actively pursuing the purposes of God. And what happens is when you're both pursuing the purposes of God, God has a strange way of connecting the two of y'all. Do y'all see that?
Yeah.
Like we're both pursuing God and then all of a sudden we connect. That's God's intent. That's God's design.
I say practically too, being intentional about living your life to the full in singleness. So not saying like, man, when I have a husband or when I have a wife, I want to do this thing. Like, no, it's do it now. The two things that I admire about my friends who are single is how much they are intentional about living their life to the fullest. So if it's, I want to move to this city because I feel like that's where God's calling me, I'm moving. If it's starting a business, I'm starting the business. If it's, I'm buying a house, I'm buying a house. It's not like, oh, I'll wait till I have kids so I can buy a house. What if I buy a house too small? My husband comes. If God is leading you to buy a house, buy the house. But then also taking time to invest in your interests.
Yes.
So doing the things that you're interested in, figuring out what it is. Is it painting? Is it dancing? Is it mixed fit? Is it body pump? Whatever those interests are, being intentional about plugging in, because you're not going to meet somebody at your house just chilling. Like maybe the person who delivers your DoorDash might be your husband or your wife.
The Amazon Prime.
It is possible.
I think that's the person that the Lord has for me.
I'm going to keep ordering packages so he can come.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna go to sleep and wake up and Eve is gonna be there, or like, you need to run because they broke into your house.
Right.
So, like, being intentional about being out and about and being true to the convictions that you have. Like, God didn't call you to be pure and then be like, oh man, I messed up because I didn't realize that all the guys are gonna wanna have sex with her. I shouldn't have told her to be pure. Like, it didn't catch God by surprise. And so, that is still an important discipline to have and be committed to having that discipline.
That's good.
Even if it doesn't look like somebody's coming right now.
And the second part of that question, the second question, are there realistically any men who feel the same way as it relates to wanting to be pure? Yes, there are.
Yes.
I know plenty of guys who want to honor God and are honoring God right now. So I think once again, it just comes back to us making sure that we're aligning our lives with the purposes of God. And guys, there are young ladies and there are women of God who are actively pursuing the presence of God and want to be pure as well and want to fulfill God's purpose and plan for their life as well. And so don't believe the lie of the enemy where it's just like, no, there's no men out there. No, there are. There are. There's no women out there. No, there are. But don't let that be your focus. Let Jesus be your focus. Let him work out the details of the relationship. He's a brilliant matchmaker. Let him take care of that.
And us married people need to be really intentional about seeing our single friends and connecting them with each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying. Like, they're looking for somebody. You know people. Just invite them over.
We're having a prayer night at our house. You know, we'd just like to know if you would like to join in.
It's just us and two other people.
Yeah, us and two other people. The other people canceled out. You know, they had something.
Come pray. I am married. My spouse had an affair. We stay together and work things through. There are still trust issues, though. How do we combat these issues and reestablish trust? Can we?
My first thing I would say is that is tough, and we are praying for you and believing that God can heal you, whatever that looks like in your life. My first practical question would just be, have you gone into marital counseling? Like, have you actually sat down with somebody to really kind of process all of that? Because when there's kind of a break in marriage and where there's an affair, where there's infidelity, that's just not something that you just get over just like that. It can be things that get triggered years from now from that. And so have you taken the steps to healing? And if so, I want to encourage you to continue to pursue it. Like, continue to pursue it. Also want to encourage you to share what's happened with trusted friends. Like, don't fall into the trap of just staying to yourself and trying to muster through it by yourself, and you don't lean on trusted people. So I believe that, you know, you seek some godly professional help, and we can help with that. We can connect you with resources with that. We'll talk more about that at the end of today. But then also seeking those personal relationships that you just really trust, those intercessors, those people who are just going to speak into you and who can really help to bring forth some healing. And then being intentional with investing in your relationship. So how do we combat these issues and reestablish trust? Can we? Yes, you can reestablish trust. Yes, you can. It may be a hard road ahead, and it may be a long road ahead, but you can. And how it's going to happen is by just intentionally investing in your relationship, investing time into your relationship, investing intentional communication in your relationship, loving one another the way Christ loves you. A lot of grace has to be given there. A lot of forgiveness has to take place there. So I guess what I'm saying is there has to be a lot of patience. Like, it's not going to just happen overnight. An affair never happens overnight. It may have been an act, but there were multiple things that led to that. And so because it was happening over time, it's going to take a little bit of time, but more importantly, God's grace to be able to persevere through that. Yeah. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah. I think all that's good. One practical thing, there's a book by Lisa Turkers. I said that all wrong. Call. It's not supposed to be this way. She's a Christian author and speaker, it was an affair in their marriage, and it talks about how they were able to reconcile and work through that, even in the midst of that. So that would be a good book to read.
Yeah.
My husband is saved, but not actively pursuing a relationship with the Lord. As a wife, how am I supposed to submit to his leadership when he's not actively following God?
That's a good question.
Another question that linked into this was, how can I encourage my husband without being forceful if I am further in my faith than him? Submission is always an interesting question. But it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to submit to your husbands when we do it God's way. And so Ephesians 5, 22 through 23 says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. And so a lot of us have probably heard this, especially females, have heard this manipulated. Like, you got to submit to me. You're going to do what I tell you to do.
Right.
Or you might have heard it from other women. Like, the husband may be the head, but I'm going to be the neck that turns the head. So I'm going to control him. He's going to do what I tell him to do.
Right.
And so neither one of those are godly examples of submission.
It's not in the Bible.
It's not in the Bible. But the Bible
It sounds good, but it ain't biblical.
It's not. Yeah. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And so our motive behind submitting to our husbands is because we are doing it to please the Lord. It is what God has ordained for us to do. It becomes tricky when your husband is not following Christ.
Yeah.
And so for single people, this is why it is really important to marry somebody who is following the Lord. Because when you don't, you put yourself in these situations where now we got to have awkward conversations, or now I'm conflicted because I got to figure it out. So this is why it's important for us to be on the same page with our spirituality. But a couple of things there. So if your husband doesn't have a relationship with Christ and you are a Christian, your relationship is not contingent on the relationship that your husband or your spouse has with God. I am a Christian and I believe in God, whether he chooses to believe in God or not. And so being intentional about dialing into your relationship with God in spite of whatever the other person is doing, because God, you're a Christian, so you're following God. So being intentional about plugging in there. And then also realizing that we're submitting, but not in where it conflicts with what God is telling me to do, if that makes sense. So if submission is not going to be like, we stay home on Sundays, well, I need to go to church on Sunday. So on Sunday is my time to worship with the Lord, so I'm going to do that. But then also giving him space to make decisions and praying that God will guide him, even if he's not listening in to God. God can use anything. And so realizing that line of not being a nagging wife and realizing how we place prayer in the play to intercede.
That's
in
good.
The heart of our husbands. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, Proverbs 27:15, an endless dripping on a rainy day and a nagging wife are alike.
Mm.
So a nagging wife and an endless drip. You ever had it like in your house, there's like a leak in the sink, in the toilet, somewhere, and you just, all you hear, and it's like driving you crazy, or your like fire alarm is like beeping, and you're like, oh my gosh, stop it. That's what a nagging wife is like. And so we wanna be intentional as wives. We are gonna see things in our husbands and want to help perfect them. It's like, but I see so much greatness in you, and if you would just listen to me, it'll be so much easier, your project.
Yeah.
And we might legit be right, especially if we're hearing from the Lord. Like, you may be right in what you're saying, but the more and more I say it to him, the less and less he's going to want to hear it. And so we have to be intentional about just submitting those things to the Lord and not being a nagging wife. But further in Proverbs, it talks about being a crown that adores his head. So we don't want to be the neck that turns his head, but the crown that adorns his head.
Mm.
And so
God.
Yeah. Be a crown.
We didn't talk about that one last night. That's a good one.
I wrote it in my notes.
The crown. It's good. And I would even encourage wives to just kind of speaking on behalf of the guys, what Ariel has done so well is she has interjected things that need to be done without insulting me. So if there's something that she sees that, like, hey, I think we need to kind of address this and speak to this, she does so in a graceful way. It's not in a belittling type of way. Right, and so I think a lot of times what happens is you can speak the truth, and the Bible talks about this, speak the truth. But the second part of that verse says speak the truth in love, right? And so what we do so well is we do speak truth, facts, hashtag facts. But if there's no love to accompany it, then it will never be received. It's just harsh. And so when the Bible talks about Jesus, it talks about how he came in grace and truth. If you got all truth, that's just harsh. If you got all grace, that's just enablement. What we need is a combination of both, grace and truth. And she does an incredible job with that. It's been so bad where it'll be something she'll suggest. And I'll know it's like something we need to do, but I don't really pay attention. But in my heart of hearts, I'm like, okay, we need to do this, right? And then time will go by, and then we'll actually do it. And then it's been so bad. And I'm like, man, I had this great idea. I think we should do da-da-da-da-da-da. And she'll just be looking like, are you serious?
Ago,
I said that like a year ago, you know?
Let's go for it.
And so, so just like I want to encourage all wives in here to be patient. Husbands, I think it's the same way. Be patient with your spouse. Like marriage, one pastor said, marriage can be the closest thing to heaven or the closest thing to hell.
Yeah.
I believe that. And so, the question is, am I going to constantly extend grace and be patient and whatever the case may be? And so, even if you're in a relationship right now and your spouse is not as further along in your faith. And I say that in a humbling way, a humble way, not in a way where it's like, I'm better than you, you know, I'm more spiritual than you. But like, you know, being more obedient, just walking more in congruency with God's will. Pray for your husband. Like prophesy over his life. Speak over his life. Like speak those things over him that you know God has called him to. Not in a disrespectful way, not in a humiliating way, but build up rather than tear down.
There's a book called A Wife's Prayer by Pamela Hines. It's called A Wife's Prayer by Pamela Hines. Someone gave me that book when I got engaged, and there are literally like prayers written out. Here's a prayer to pray over finances. Here's a prayer to pray over your husband's peace, your whatever it is. And it's fill in the blank, say your husband's name here, so you don't have to think of a prayer. It is already there, and it is a prayer for every occasion. And so someone gave it to me when I got engaged, and I prayed all those prayers over him before we got married. And it's been a book that I've like given people when they get engaged, and it's awesome. Even if you're single, God knows if you're going to get married, he knows who that person is. So you could be praying and be like, I don't know who the husband is, but I'm going to pray for him. And God knows who that person is. Yeah. And so those things help you to be able to pray as opposed to nag.
Absolutely.
And to also realize that for everything you are trying to push him to, there is something God's trying to push you to do too. Mm. And so as much growth as you see an opportunity for in the other person, there's probably 10 times more growth as an opportunity for you. And so we can get so fixated on them, like, oh my gosh, you're so broken, you should read your Bible every day. Well, there's probably something you need to be developing and growing deeper into, and so don't look so much on them, but be that person that you're trying to get them to be.
That's good. Even some more practical things, you know, encourage your spouse to plug into community. So we got connect groups. Shameless plug again.
Like,
let's go to this couples group, you know, or like, hey, there's a men's group. Like, go to that group. Like, just encouraging them to take that next step. Like, you have to invest in their spiritual growth just like they're investing. Now, granted, at the end of the day, it comes back down to them. Like, they have to make that decision. But help them take that step. You know, don't just kind of badger them and just kind of belittle them. You shaming people into spiritual growth never works. No. You would never be able to shame anybody into growth. But what you can do is encourage people into growth and love people into growth. And so just encourage you to take that step. Last question that we want to ask just for time purposes is, how do you forgive, this is a good one, and forget without getting bitter when they continue to do or not do the same thing? How do you forgive and forget without getting bitter when they continue to do or not do the same thing? And this a question like this, is deep, but I always believe the answer is so simple. And the answer is this: remember how much Jesus has forgiven you of. That becomes the fuel and the motivation of your forgetting and your forgiving. Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13 says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. So Paul says, forgive each other. Whatever the grievance is, forgive. Forgive. And you may be saying, well, why? Like, you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. You don't know how they acted. Like they don't deserve my forgiveness. And then Paul says this, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also are to forgive others. So the motivation behind me forgiving you is not based upon you or what you do or don't do. The motivation behind me forgiving you is because Jesus has forgiven me of all of my sins. That's the motivation. The gospel is always the motivation behind everything that we do. The reason why we extend grace is because we've received grace. This is one of the main reasons why so many people have an issue with the church, the body of Christ, is because we're supposed to be people who have received much grace, but we are very stingy when it comes to sharing it and showing it. And so we'll sing about this forgiveness, but when it's time to forgive, Well, then I got to ask the question, do you really understand the weight of your sin and the weight of what you did? It doesn't excuse what that person may have did, but if I'm having an issue with forgiving and also forgetting, so it's not enough for me just to say I forgive you, but I'm never going to forget. Like, no, you don't do that. That's not going to work, because more than likely you haven't forgiven. Me saying I forgive you is not me saying that I agree with what you have done. It says I'm no longer going to hold against you what you have done, and I'm going to forgive you of this, so that way the relationship can be restored and move forward. Now, in cases like adultery and abuse, you know, I'm not advocating for forgiving them and like just stay in the relationship. God does permit you to be able to you know, go through the painful process of divorce if those things happen, but it doesn't necessarily mean it has to happen. And so the goal is always to extend forgiveness, because now forgiveness becomes an on-ramp for reconciliation. But where there's no forgiveness, there can be no reconciliation. You know, there's a difference between the two. Like, forgiveness doesn't mean that the relationship has been reconciled and restored. It just means that no longer is there the barrier. Sometimes you may forgive, and it may still mean the end of a relationship. But nonetheless, as it is all contingent on me, we want to extend grace, because we have been ones who have received grace and received forgiveness.
When I heard this question came up in our, we do premarriage sessions, and so this came up in one of our premarriage sessions, and I heard it, immediately my mind went to petty, like, you said you was going to take out the trash, and you didn't take out the trash, and now I'm angry, and you keep not taking out the trash, and how long do I keep forgiving you for not taking out the trash? That might not have been their intention. That's what Ariel heard, because for Ariel, it's dishes. Like, if the dishes aren't done, like, it just needs to be clean. The kitchen just needs to be clean so I can think and love people in my house. That's just, the kitchen's not clean, I'm angry.
Like, hey, dishes for real?
It's just the small, it's dishes.
Put them in the dishwasher, all right.
He is the dishwasher loader, and I receive the peace that comes from him loading the dishwasher. And so if the dishwasher isn't loaded, and I come in the morning, it's like, oh, today's going to be a horrible day because of dishes. And so I literally had to get to the point where I was like, Ariel, are you going to allow the dishes not being clean to ruin your entire day? Like, is your whole day going to be contingent on if this one thing is done? Yeah. Because we have a choice on how we respond to that. And so sometimes it's those petty things. It's the, you didn't pick up your clothes, you didn't wash this, you said you were going to go take this, whatever, and now I got to do that. Right. Like, our home should be a place that people can rest and have grace. And there's so many pressures for our children in school. There's so many pressures for our husbands and our wives at work and in other places where they just can't fail and there's no grace for them to fail. Home should be a place where we're comfortable in making a mistake and the whole world doesn't fall apart because a mistake was made. And I think when we give that grace and that peace to be able to fail, the other person doesn't want to fail because they're like, man, I want to do better because they're so grace-filled. It is not perfect. I get angry a lot over dishes.
I couldn't tell.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is a bear. He just covers. He covers in the multitudes of sins. Because in my head sometimes it'd be a lot of sin.
I bet.
And so like, it's like neither one of us has to be perfect because God's grace covers it all. So that's awesome that you can't tell. if that weren't for nobody else, that blessed me today. But it is, it's like we have to make a choice. Like, I choose how I'm going to respond to the offense. Like, somebody said to me recently, being offended is a choice.
Yeah.
That person may have done something, but you have the right or the thought, you have to choose on whether or not I'm going to walk in offense because they did that thing.
Right.
And so that is us dying daily to make ourselves holy and more like Christ in our marriage. Because marriage is an opportunity for you to do that multiple times every single day. Am I going to be offended, or am I going to operate in grace and love and truth and just cover them in this moment?
Amen. And I think it's also being able to recognize, like, there's been times where, like, Ariel's done things that I'm like, man, like, again? Are you serious?
Never.
Like, we just talked about this. Really? You know, and then God always kind of reminds me, like, you realize, dude, like, there's still things that I'm working out in you, and there's still things that you do that drive her crazy as well. And so, like, that, it levels, the cross always levels the playing field. And so now the focal point is, now it's not on her, like, what she's not doing. Now it's like, okay, God, what do you want to do in me? Like, I'm responsible for what you want to do in me. Like, she is not my project. You have not put me here to change her. Like, you have put me here to serve her. That's my role. Not to be served, but to serve. That's why Jesus came. Not to be served, but to serve. And so, like, how am I growing as a servant? And so there has been times where, like, you know, it'd be late at night or something like that, and I'm like, man, them dishes, man, I don't really feel like loading them in the dishwasher. Man, I don't really feel like loading them in the dishwasher.
As I'm on Facebook for hours.
Man, I'm tired, man. ESPN, man, the Warriors blew them out again. Meanwhile, this is just sitting there, right? And so, like, so those are the moments where God is convicting. It's like, dude, like, grow. It's like, grow. Become a better servant in these moments. Like, you may not want to, but Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, but yet he did.
Yeah.
Like, serve. This is what it means to love one another in holy matrimony. And so it's like being able to recognize, like, yeah, I may be frustrated with some things that she does, but she's probably equally frustrated, if not more frustrated, with the things that I'm not doing. So let me just focus on what God wants to do in my life, and as she's focusing on what God wants to do through her and in her, and now we grow together as husband and wife. And it's a beautiful union. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that makes sense. So I want to close with this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is really a banner scripture for our entire church. This is a scripture that you always hear me mention it almost probably multiple times throughout the course of the month, maybe almost in every sermon that I preach, because I think you need to be reminded of this all the time, because oftentimes the world will tell you, you failed, you've messed up, your marriage sucks, you divorced, you will never have new life, you can never move forward. And the Bible says, no, that's wrong. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old is past and the new has come. And the reason why I want you to hear that today is because I don't care where you are right now in life and where you are right now in your relationship, in Christ Jesus, you can move forward.
Yeah.
Even if you're single right now and you're like, man, I've made some mistakes and I've done some things that I know don't honor God and I feel like I can't move forward. No, you can move forward by the grace, by the power, by the love of Jesus Christ. You are no longer tied to what you did. You are tied to what Christ has done in you and what he has done for you. And if I can leave you, and if we can leave you with this thought, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, any person who hears these words of mine and does them is like the wise builder who builds his house on the rock. Comes back to foundation. And I want to encourage us today in dating, in love, in marriage, in sex, whatever it is that you and I, that all of us as a church and those watching online, that we would build everything that we do upon Jesus. Because he never makes a mistake. It's never going to be wrong if we do it his way. It doesn't mean that our lives will be perfect, but if we're aiming to please him and if we're aiming to align our marriages and everything that we do with his word, watch how drastically different your life will be. And some of you have not done that yet. You have not tried that. Like, you come in here week after week and you hear it. You're like, man, that sounds good, but you haven't put it into action yet. The Bible says, blessed is the one, not just who hears the word, but does the word. And I want to encourage you today, man, build your life on Jesus. Build everything that you do on Jesus. Watch how your life will be different. And even if you're here and you're like, Pastor Edwin, Aria, you guys gave some good wisdom, man, but I need a little bit more attention. And my marriage, man, we need some work, like work for real. And we need some additional just support. I want to encourage you to do this. On our screen, we got our email. For our care ministry. It's care@thebridgechurchva.com. I want you to email us today. Like, please do not walk out of here today and you know you got some issues and you know you got some things that you're wrestling with and struggling with and you've been trying to battle it and trying to do it on your own, but it has not worked. But if you know for a fact, like, man, I'm at this place and we need some direction and we need some healing and I want to walk in God's best. Don't y'all want that for your life? Like, you want to walk in God's best for your life. And you've been trying to do it, but you can't do it, email us. So that way we can connect you with some good resources and serve you and love on you the way that God wants to love on you. So that way you can experience the healing and the blessing that he has for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Were y'all blessed by this? Amen. Amen. Y'all make some noise to Ariel. Thank you, darling.